Joining us now, assistant professor from the School of Natural Resources and the Environment, Lake Superior State University up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan on the U.S. side. Kevin, now I'm going to mispronounce this, I'm sure, but Kevin will bear with me, I'm sure. Kapusinski on the line with us. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. How was I on that pronunciation?
That was just fine.
Thank you, buddy. So I'm intrigued. We had Roger Greel on this program from Lake Superior State University, out of Upper Michigan State, a while back, and he was discussing the work that the university was doing that dated back to 1987 on Atlantic salmon, and in particular how they were doing in the St. Mary's River. And, you know, you are an assistant professor at the School of Natural Resources and the Environment of Lake Superior State University. And, you've got some information to share with us, regarding the whole Atlantic salmon, program up there. Do tell.
Sure. So, you know, I can talk about the history of the program if you like, or I could talk about, the current state, or I could talk about the future. In the future, we have a really, exciting project underway right now where we're building a new facility, you know, that's adjacent to the fish hatchery. So many people are familiar with Lake State's fish hatchery, which is housed within the Cloverland Hydro Plant. And that has created and supported this really tremendous Atlantic salmon fishery in the St. Mary's River. Now we're, you know, the hatchery's been there for about 40 years, but we've been stocking Atlantics for 30 years. The new facility that we're going to build that'll be adjacent to the hatchery is really focused on providing state-of-the-art spaces for research and education. And then the hatchery will remain where it is now, but we're also looking to renovate that as a separate project.
Now, I don't think it's any big secret. The raising and rearing of Atlantic salmon in hatcheries is like crazy difficult, and the mortality rate is extremely high. And, you know, we were told on this program, if you give them an opportunity to die, they will. How is that coming along? Have we learned anything? Are we much better at raising this fish?
Yeah, so that's a really important point, and that's one of, you know, probably Roger's most famous quote about giving them an excuse to die. They are notoriously difficult to rear, and I think that that's one of the reasons why the hatchery here has been so successful is that, you know, it did not start with the objective of being a fish production hatchery. It started and remains, its purpose is to train students. So we have had, I've only been here about 5 years, right? You know, Roger's been here much longer, but he, you know, he's had the time to really learn about the fish and learn how to raise them, you know, with student trainees. And so if we were a production facility, you know, say we were run by a state or provincial agency, they probably would have abandoned the project long ago, because it has been a bumpy ride.
That's what we've heard for sure. Listen, Kevin, can you sit tight for a couple of minutes? I do have to take a quick break, and there's a couple of more questions I have to ask you, imperative that I do. So if you can bear with us for a moment. Dr. Kevin Kapusinski on the line, assistant professor, School of Natural Resources and Environment, Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, USA, talking about Atlantic salmon rearing. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. We have Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis, all here working feverishly today on this wonderful spring-like, almost summer-like weekend here in the GTA. Lots of rain, but that's cool.
I'm fine with that.
Oh, I'm down with that for sure.
As long as it's warm, I'm good.
On the line with us, Dr. Kevin Kapusinski. He's an assistant professor, School of Natural Resources and the Environment, in Lake Superior State University, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, USA, where they, among other things, are working on Atlantic salmon. And it's, doctor, I want to throw something out right now. It's not by accident that this is taking place on the St. Mary's River, in the Sault Ste. Marie area, is it? I mean, that is, from what I understand, if there was such a thing as close to being a perfect, habitat for Atlantic salmon, that is it pretty much, huh?
Yeah, so our facility, you know, one of our real advantages is our location. So, we rear the Atlantics in essentially a river-fed flow-through system. So we're rearing them in the water that we're also releasing them into. So that I'm convinced, you know, that is part of the reason why we have such high return rates to the fishery. And another major advantage is that it is the way we stock them. You know, we're able to essentially pull the plug on the raceway drains and the fish go down directly into the river. We don't have to net them and transport them. You know, they don't have to undergo right. all that stress related to transport. So, and then of course the feeding, the food resources and the physical habitat is good for Atlantic salmon. That's evidenced by those return rates.
So talk to me about the exciting news, evidence of actual natural reproduction. I think this might be the first.
Well, we have, so dating back to, I think the sampling was actually done in 2012, but there was a paper published by, it was led by one of our undergraduate students, Stephen Tucker, and he discovered some evidence of natural reproduction of Atlantics. And then this past year, 2018, we have a collaborative project with the U.S. Geological Survey looking at larval fish in the St. Mary's, and they did capture we captured some larval Atlantic salmon, but it's really important to note that that level of reproduction is as far as we can tell, extremely low, and we have little to no evidence that those fish are, you know, recruiting to the spawning stock or what the anglers are catching. You know, if we stopped stocking the St. Mary's, that fishery would go away.
It would. So we're not anywhere near ready to claim that we have saved the passenger pigeon of the waterways.
No, I mean, you know, the issue there is, like, the habitat does appear to be really good for, you know, rearing subadults and adults, but the spawning habitat, you know, is an issue. You know, the St. Mary's River, the rapids themselves have been altered so much over the course of human history. And then really, you know, Atlantic salmon is native to Lake Ontario, but, you know, is not native up here. And so even if we had natural habitat, you know, it's a bit unclear how well, you know, natural reproduction recruitment would be, you know, just because they didn't, you know, adapt and evolve up here.
So, Doctor, if you could sort of go down the timeline, up the timeline, look into the future for me, do you think that we'll ever have a day that you and I, so let's limit it to our lifespan, that you and I will ever be able to sit back and say, wow, look at that. Atlantic salmon are naturally reproducing, and they have once again claimed the Great Lakes as home.
Well, you know, that's a tough question.
Yeah.
Things are so much better now than they were just 30 years ago. You know, there were parts of the Great Lakes that were close to being dead. You know, they were, maybe you had carp and bullhead surviving and not much else in some of the tributaries that we used for industrial purposes. Things are so much better now than they were 30 years ago. You know, it's hard to say that, you know, we're never going to see a natural self-sustaining Atlantics again. I think we can, but, you know, it's a long road, and we've had a really, you know, a bumpy road here in just creating a sport fishery. I think if you're talking about, you know, restoring natural self-sustaining populations, there's right. a long way to go.
Yeah, and the key word there, I said in our lifetime. So you, I'm not giving you the luxury of looking, you know, down an infinite timeline at our sure. lifetime. And it seems, but you know what? It's encouraging that you guys are doing the work that you're doing, and it's encouraging that, you know, you've got some evidence that it is a possibility. Who knows? Time will tell, I guess. Really appreciate you joining us this morning, Kevin, and keep up the great work. Where can folks follow this project, by the way?
So we have a website. You know, you can go, you can Google LSSU, and more importantly, I would encourage you all to Google LSSU CFRE, so Lake Superior State University Center for Freshwater Research and Education. So we have this, you know, really exciting new project, about 18,000 square foot new building being constructed that's going to be dedicated to research and education. It'll be the Richard and Teresa Bartsch Center for Freshwater Research and Education, and that will advance, you know, much of what we know, not just about Atlantic salmon, but Great Lakes fisheries and water quality and our natural resources in general.
I want to thank you for joining us this morning, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Kevin Kapuscinski, Assistant Professor, School of Natural Resources and Environment, Lake Superior State University, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, USA, and working on the Atlantic Salmon Project.
Nice.
I was going to call it something else, but I will leave it at that.